And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn
My family
years
really
ago,
intense
I was invited to a party.
Totally different.
But I never
I come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
All right, get your ears close to the radio. It is storytelling time on WUWM at night, our regular Wednesday night Ex-Fabula mini story slam. I'm Bruce Winter. Ex-Fabula co-founder Leah Delaney is back with us in the studio again, as she graces us on every Wednesday night. And she brings along some stories and things for us to listen to. Ex-Fabula, if you're not familiar with it, puts on monthly story slams, as they are called. And why don't you tell us about that a little bit for those who are not in the know already? You're going on year number six of this. This is amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. We're 6 years old. We have been putting on story slams in Milwaukee. We essentially go to watering holes in Milwaukee. And we throw out a theme and we ask the community to come out with their real, true, and personal 5-minute story based on that theme. They throw their name in the hat and we choose them randomly to get up on stage to tell that story. And at the end of the night, we have an audience favorite. It's a really fantastic community building event. We're creating connections through real, true, personal stories, basically.
And like any successful venture, you guys are not content to sit still and just do one thing.
That's so correct. I mean, there's just so many possibilities of stories. We created a new series this past March. It's called Secret Fabula. Basically, what we're doing is we're going to local Milwaukee businesses and institutions, and we're gathering and garnering stories from the people in those locations in creating an event such as we did at Bryant's Cocktail Lounge down on the south side. We went there, we set up camp, and we involved a lot of the people connected with that cocktail lounge to tell their personal stories about their experiences with the lounge. Like, for instance, I think we're going to start out tonight's program with John Dye, who is the current proprietor of Bryant's Cocktail Lounge, and he's going to talk a little bit about the history and his involvement with the lounge itself. It's really cool. We're going to be doing this series throughout the season, and it's a members-only thing.
Off the air, I can tell you my stories from Bryant's. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. But tell me, was it back in the corner somewhere?
The booths there are very nice. Let's hear what John Dye has to say.
Let's hear it.
Usually I don't talk into these things, so this is actually my second time talking to a microphone. My first time was at my confirmation in church. It was a long time ago. This is kind of the opposite. So, So my name is John Dye. I'm the owner of Bryant's. I have owned Bryant's 6 years tomorrow. We closed. So, yeah. When I was born, Bryant's was 36 years old, so it is much older than I am. My history, I just want to talk a little bit about that. The reason you're so welcoming to me is because I'm speaking before Shirley. Because if I came in after Shirley, you would just be like, get out of here, young guy. We want to talk to her some more. She is just wonderful, and this place is really wonderful. When I grew up in Montana, and then I moved to Seattle, because everybody who grows up in Montana moves to Seattle. And I went to college there, and I always was trying to find places like this. When I was a kid, I thought all bars were like this. I thought they were loungy. I was really into swing music. This is what I thought every place was. I thought they were everywhere, and I was just missing out. In Seattle, I looked and looked and looked. And, I mean, there are places that were throwback places, but there weren't any places that were genuine. So I went through the regular, like, life type of decisions. I went to college. I decided to try to get my PhD, so that's what brought me to Milwaukee. I started in environment behavior studies at UWM, which is a PhD in architecture. So I got here and got 3 years through my PhD and absolutely hated it. People were all wonderful, but I was like, this is just not for me. But what I did fall in love with was Milwaukee and all the wonderful establishments here. I realized Milwaukee has all of the places that I was looking for in Seattle. My whole life. It has the 5 o'clock club, and it has Bryant's and At Random and all these wonderful places, even down to the corner stores like the Sendix and just these really family-owned establishments that I think everybody who lives here should feel really lucky that you can go to these places. And unfortunately, there are less than there were when I moved here, One of the bars I loved when I first moved here was the Train Car Bar. I don't know if you guys remember that. The Great Northern. It was just a wonderful place. And I feel really sorry for all the kids these days that had never experienced that. So I'm sure that guy's still being a jerk to someone somewhere. So, but when I, basically, I did not want to buy Brian's. When I first, I was, I believe, the first person to come look at it to buy. And I went through this really, like, soul searching. And I just was like, you know, I worked in restaurants and bars all through going to school. And I just thought, this isn't something I necessarily want to do with the rest of my life. And so I tried a bunch of different things. And I was out of my PhD at this time. And I was bartending. I was selling real estate. And I was, you know, doing other stuff. And I was just like, okay. And I had plans to leave Milwaukee. I just really wanted to just leave. And I don't know why. I kind of missed home. I wanted to go back to Montana. But there was something that happened. And basically, if you've ever just been sort of really confused in life and you kind of ask for a sign, you're like, I need a sign. Like, what am I going to do with my life? And I got an email about Brian's, like, moments after. I mean, it was one of the more bizarre things that's ever happened to me. And so I was like, that's it. I got to buy Brian's. So it's by far the best thing I've ever done for my life. And I realize it's far more than a bar. It is a bar, but I do feel like a curator here. It's like everything about this place, I try to learn as much as I can. I do as much research as I can. Every story somebody tells me, I write down or try to remember. I mean, sometimes I do get a little weird about some broken stuff and I keep it. Like, my office is just not good because I won't throw anything away because you're like, never know. Someday you might want this broken blender, you know? But I do really feel like a curator, and I feel very lucky, and I feel very attached to Shirley, and I feel very attached to Pat, the last owner. I met him a couple times when I came in here. Much like Kyle, I'd come in here and kind of confused and, well, you know, no possums when I was here, but I did come here on a very bad date. That was the first time I came here. But basically, I just feel like I've gotten to know everybody so much that this place has really become a part of me. And so everything I just take very, like, I just really, this is my passion. This is my life. And I'm really glad everybody's here today because it means a lot to me because this place means so much to me. And if you ever have any questions or anything about the place, because there is so much history here. And if you ever wonder, why is it so dark? Why do they not have a cocktail list? Why, you know, who was the first owner? I mean, all of this stuff I generally know where I can find out the answers. So I really like it when people ask me questions about Brian's. So. Why is it so dark? I don't know. You know, I think Brian's is, I think it's so dark because it's the cocktail line. I mean, it's just similar to At Random how dark that is. And I think it was because it's more about who you're sitting across than who's on the other side of the room. And that's what I figured out is it's a very intimate space and the way the booths are made. And you're just, everybody's facing each other. And you don't, there's no TV to look at. You're not supposed to be looking at your cell phone, even though it's okay, we accept it. But you're really supposed to be looking at the person you came with because this is really a part of socialization. I mean, it's really wonderful. I mean, I can't imagine. I actually met a guy named Bryant. And he was like, I was named after this bar. His parents came here on their dates, and this is where they fell in love, and it was such a part of their lives that they named their kid Brian. And he actually owns a catering company here called Catering by Bryant. And he has a really good sense of humor. He's like, I'm just glad they didn't date at the Tiny Tap. It's really funny. So, but there's so much about this place that once you spend some time here, you will fall in love with this place. And it just becomes a part of you, and you can't help it. It's just, there's so much history in these walls that I guarantee it's like, come here a few times and it'll become part of your life in Milwaukee. So, and I hope, honestly, I hope everybody appreciates Milwaukee and go support the little places that are still around. Some of them are struggling, but they're what separate the city. Every city has Applebee's. Every city has those chains. What Milwaukee has is these really unique businesses that even people from Chicago come up and they're just like, Milwaukee's so wonderful. So I hope that everybody who grew up here appreciates Milwaukee as much as the people who move here from other places do. So thank you so much, everybody. And thank you, XFabula, too.
That was John Dye telling his little personal experience with Bryant's Cocktail Lounge at our first Secret Fabula event. Hopefully, the first of many to happen this current season.
Brian's Cocktail Lounge is like a Milwaukee institution. And I think when you go to these places and dig up stories, you're digging up not only grand stories, but pieces of history of the city that might be forgotten otherwise. And now you're going to have them, I was going to say, on tape. We don't do that anymore. But you'll have an audio record of this
stuff. It's like a canon.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I actually worked there part-time as a cocktail waitress. And because it was opened in 1938, we have some serious cocktail nerds that come in there. I celebrate you, by the way, cocktail nerds. And they come in there and they try to tell us parts of history about the building. And some of it's true, some of it's not. Like, there's this one person who comes in and they're like, did you know that this was actually an oven where a bakery used to be? And we're like, oh, really? That's great. And we'll turn around and be like, nope, actually, this was never a bakery. This was always
a cocktail lounge
from 1938 on. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a fabulous place. And speaking of history.
Here we go.
Yeah, honestly. Oh, what a kick in the pants. This woman, Shirley Lafferty, she had been cocktailing at this location. She has like a 40-year history with them. So you can imagine when she showed up to tell her story. I mean, we need more Shirley in this world is all I have to say.
If trays could talk, right?
Trays could talk. She told me some stuff off the record, too. She's such a wonderful lady. But we have a really great snapshot of her story from that event. And let's listen to it. It's Shirley Lafferty from our Secret Fabula Brian's Cocktail Lounge event.
I started here from being a food waitress. And I thought, I don't know if I really wanted to serve cocktails. Can I serve cocktails or do I want food? So I'd come in and I'd stand around and this one would take a drink and that one would take a drink. And being a food waitress, you're running constantly. So I was here for about a month, 2 months. And I decided I really liked it and I was going to stay. Well, then Pat decided that I would become the head waitress and of all the others. And then I got a little more confident. Egotistical is the word, really. So as time went on, I was so proud of Brian's. And I stayed, and our three bartenders stayed. And it became a family. It was just something wonderful that you came to work every day. And you loved it. You couldn't wait till the people came in so that you could be what you were. And if you weren't what you were, then forget about it. You can't take on what happens during the evening or the next day to live with. So I have to tell a couple stories that happened here. Pat would always decorate the lighting according to the holiday. Amber lights are the best thing. They make you look so young. You really have to love amber. So Pat decided that on St. Patrick's Day, we were going to have green lights. So Bobby, the bartender at that time, and I came in, decorated the whole thing in green lights. Pat came in later. He had his office upstairs, and he would get dressed for the evening. And he walked down the steps, and he went, ah! And he walked over, and he looked at Dennis and I, and he said, it looks like monsters in here. The green lighting made everybody look just horrible. Needless to say, the next day, we had amber lights. So another story I have to tell about customers. I used to have a lot of Marquette students come in, and they were wonderful, no matter what. So they found out, and through talking and my conversation, Pulp Fiction was being played. And my daughter took me to see it, and I have never seen such a horrible movie in my life. It was horrible. I told my daughter, I said, if that guy said, F, one more time, I'm leaving. So I get a bunch of Marquette students come in, and they're sitting way in the corner over there. And this one kid kept saying, F you. And I said, just say that one more time, and I'm shoving some soap. I'm going to soap your mouth. So I'm up here getting another order, walking toward the back, and I hear, F you. I come back around, went in the ladies' room, and got a bar of soap. I went over to the table, and so help me, this is the truth. I went over to the table, and I just hear that F you again, and bang. He was eating soap. His table went up into hysterics. And I loved the kids. I really did. And they'd walk out the door and they'd give me a hug and I'd give them a hug. And I also have to say, as I finish, because I'm not going to keep talking, I have to say that John has carried on. Oh, if I cry, I'll die. Okay. John has carried on the way Pat would have wanted it, and he has been wonderful. So keep him going. Goodbye.
That was Shirley Laverty from Bryant's Cocktail Lounge. We had a Secret Fabula event there, and it was Secret Fabulous.
Secret Fabulous. Yes. That's good. That's
yep.
good.
Well, you know.
Every Wednesday night, we bring stories to the radio, courtesy of X-Fabula. Leah Delaney is the co-founder. A new season of the monthly Story Slams will be starting out in September. Mm-hmm. And dates and places and themes to be announced. And I'm sure you can announce that on our regular Wednesday thing here.
Yeah.
When you know.
Yeah. In fact, we'll be back in July.
Oh, we'll be here every Wednesday. We'll be here every Wednesday.
Forever and ever and ever and ever.
It's a date.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you, Bruce.